This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think it's pretty disruptive, much like the way I was at the Slim Chickens last time. tried to play that card.
Kent is out here trying to be disruptive in the sports media scene and in your local Slim Chickens.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The recent reports have been that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to, quote, take some time to decide on where he ends up next. I thought, who better to talk about that with than one of the most prominent free agents in recent memory in the Kansas City media scene, Kent Swanson?
Well, Joshua, I was going to take some time away from this program, too. Honestly, I was going to mull over whether or not I even really wanted to participate in this fine program.
Sure.
But I'm here. I'm ready to work. I'm committed. I'm excited to talk to you again. It feels like it's been a few weeks, so I'm excited.
It has. And, you know, much like Odell, you're going to have probably 6 or 7 weeks to kind of prove to the world that, you know, you do deserve that big second contract. And then you're going to end up in Jacksonville or something.
Here's my problem, Josh. I've shown spots on my calendar on Wednesdays. I've been open.
Oh. Well, I just haven't been here.
Yeah, well, I had my dad tweet out a lot of instances on my calendar where I've been open on Wednesdays to talk, and it just hasn't worked out. So I'm very disappointed.
How has the calendar life been going? Because that's really what I stay up at night staring at my ceiling, wondering if you took any of my calendar advice.
I was driving down the road with my wife the other day, and you know, she turns to me and she says, "We really need to get a family calendar together." And the only thing I could think about is how excited you would be to hear that my wife is starting to become Team Josh on this situation.
This is going to sound inflammatory, but I have to explain in an audio medium what I'm doing right now, and my hands are open like you just blew coverage behind me, and I'm Tyrann Mathieu. Like that is genuinely naturally. My arms just flew into the air because yes, you need a family calendar. You can share Google Calendar events with your wife. You guys can have a shared calendar, your individual calendars. There's so many great little twists and turns of having a shared calendar.
Well, and you know what? I would make sure to put this little time slot for sure on my calendar as well, if that we were ever going to get to that point. But it is kind of getting a little hectic around here. I got a kindergartner now, so the schedule's starting to fill up a little bit here, more there, and I don't know. Like life is crazy. Life is chaos right now over here.
I thought for a second there you were going to say, before you said you were going to put this radio program, your standing appointment on Wednesdays, et cetera, on there, I thought you were going to say that you were going to put me on in the calendar so, like, I could just be there, you know, and also check in on what your day-to-day is like. And I really like the idea of me just getting a notification that just says, like, dentist. And it's like, I'm not going to the dentist. Oh, this is from Kent. Oh, Kent's going to the dentist today. Well, I hope he doesn't have any cavities.
I kind of want that. I want you to see that. Maybe a little form of birth control, perhaps, for you as well in this season of life.
I was so confused by what that sentence meant for a second.
You could just see all the requirements of being a dad here. I mean, you know.
My immediate thought was that it just, like, 11:45 p.m., I just get a ding on my phone, and it just says, from Kent's calendar. Uh-uh.
No, Joshua.
I'm watching. That's the next week. It's just ding, Kent's calendar. I'm watching. Hello.
I simultaneously ring your doorbell while the notification goes off. This is all coming together real nice.
Yeah, you know what? So I've decided I'm going to go ahead and opt out of the Swanson family calendar, but I do wish the best of calendar appointments on you, and I hope that you come around there. But if you want to just share some highlights every once in a while, that's fine, but I definitely don't think I need the consistent updates, you know?
I could let you know from time to time when I'm hitting up Costco or something, and you know, we can give you some highlight levels and all that good stuff. It'd be good.
That'd be great. Yeah, I also do think it's funny that you think that maybe I'm not already pretty much made my choices on how I feel about children at the moment. You know, of like, hey, look, I just want you to realize that sometimes being a dad sucks. It's like, no, that makes a lot of sense. That's what I would have guessed.
It never sucks. It's just the time commitment. You are just going to be flabbergasted by the insanity and chaos. It's great.
How has the dual child new 2-deep safety system been going? By the way, so you've got one in kindergarten now. You've got the baby. What is life like in the Swanson family household?
It's a lot of fun, man. And I the first few months, it's a lot. Maybe I should just send you a notification every time I'm awake. Maybe I should do that. Because it's a lot, we're up a lot, our kid gets up probably, 3-4 times a night, and that definitely throws a wrench in everything, and it makes you exhausted all the time, but it's just worth it all. And my oldest kid's loving it, and he loves being a big bro. And life's good, man. This is what you do it for.
I get mad whenever the dog wakes me up before 8 a.m. to go outside.
You are in for some treats in your future at some point here, man.
That's where
I'm
at.
if you stay on the calendar, that will be delayed for even further.
That sounds good. Yeah, I'll whatever you got to do. I'll give you my email, and you can give me whatever level of notifications you think are necessary.
All of them. Okay.
Yeah, boy. Okay. You know what? Yeah. So my email is rudy.salazar@ Yahoo at AOL.netscape.org.
Perfect.
I'm going to Google that. There have to be people still on AOL mail servers, right? Is AOL mail still around? Let's Google that real quick, and then I'll ask you about a Chiefs question here. Well, the AOL brand is gone, but could I email rudy.salazar@AOL.com?
I think, I'm doing some internet sleuthing here too. I'm pretty sure it's still an account.
It's gotta be.
I'm pretty sure you can still do it. I think I'm looking in the top right corner at AOL.com, and there is an envelope there. That
oh, good.
An email.
Okay, excellent. You used to get the CDs and cereal boxes or whatever. Did you ever get a good one? Because I remember, I think that my first exposure to backyard baseball was from, a cereal box, and that ruled.
So I did not get one from, for, AOL. I got these demos for a PlayStation 1 from Pizza Hut.
Oh, yes!
Buddy. It was my first exposure to, Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I'm pretty sure, Cool Borders and, all these other games. I burned a hole in those.
Yeah.
We got our PlayStation for $20 at a garage sale, and then our games for the longest time were just Pizza Hut game, Pizza Hut demo games, and it was that is a whole year of my life playing those.
Let's see. I have Googled PlayStation Pizza Hut demo disc and have a few different results here. Was there a little Crash Bandicoot on there, or maybe that's Crash Racing?
No, I think this was before. I think this was even before Crash Racing. I think it would have been they're blue. One of them was blue. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I see a blue and a green one here. It looks like.
Oh, I think I had a blue. And I had blue and a red one. Maybe.
Was the blue one Spyro, or is that also two? Those would have come out around the same time. I think a big Spyro guy.
Okay, maybe it was Crash Team Racing because now I've Googled it too. Yeah.
Little Ape Escape, little Final Fantasy, little Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Yeah. Crash Team Racing. Yeah, it was a pretty good racing game.
Oh, my. Dude, it was so good. I was pretty lame, though, on the Gran Turismo. I used to play as the Miata just because I thought it was a cool car. And I think there's a Geo Metro, too.
I don't think I have played that. Sorry, there was a Miata in a Crash Racing game?
Oh, sorry, not Crash. Sorry, I was talking about Gran Turismo. I thought you said racing games. So I was just thinking of other ones too.
Okay.
Crash Team Racing is just their blatant attempt to try to compete with Mario Kart. Which,
absolutely.
I mean, it was a valiant effort.
Yes, you can't always get the name brand of everything, right? You got to pick your spots. Crash Racing that was, I would say, successful enough. There's some.
It's like Pepsi. That was the Pepsi of the racing games. I'm not trying to call it Walmart brand.
Right.
Mario Kart. It was good. It just wasn't Coke. That's all.
like there's, you know, all the Super Smash games, obviously, and then at one point, I think on the Game Boy Advance, I think it would have been, I had something, it was something along the lines of like Shrek Brawlers or something like that, and that is sort of your RC Cola.
I see, like that one might be like your great choice brand.
Yeah,
like that one, that's bottom of the barrel. That's just like just desperate reaches with merchandising, in my opinion.
You say that, but I think maybe you should go try Shrek Super Slam, which is what it's actually called. I'm gonna find a copy of it. I'll send it to your house. What's your address again?
I'm not telling you, but maybe I'll send it to you on the calendar someday.
We'll fair enough. Put a calendar event for buy me a copy of Shrek Super Slam.
I'll set an appointment for you to come play Shrek Super Slam on whatever gaming console you so choose.
I would love that. It will cost me $14 to get it on eBay. I think that's only a fair price.
That's not that bad. We're fine.
We can handle that. Because
I'll go have these on it.
Ooh, that's good. I'll tell you what. If you're thinking, I don't know if I'd spend $14 on that, you could spend your money in a much better place by going to kcsn.substack.com. You can subscribe to the KC Sports Network. You're going to get great written content through the Substack from Kent and all of the KCSN folks. Plus, you've got all the other podcasts, all of the things you guys are doing from a video perspective, all your live stuff. What's your what's something that you want to – give me something outside of the Substack that people should know. Tell me about the podcast. Give me a quick podcast plug that maybe people don't know about, and then we'll talk about Chief stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, the KC Sports Network YouTube page has a lot of great podcasts as well. We've got wonderful shows with, you know, Jeff Allen and Mike DeVito are doing an awesome show that I honestly think is the most like underrated program in the city. I think what they're doing is great. We've got all kinds of special, you know, shows too, with like we got Matt Castle breaking down plays every week. We had Derek Johnson on with Mike DeVito and Craig Stout breaking down defensive plays last week. So we got a lot of cool stuff going on there on the YouTube page, the podcast channel. Those are all of our shows. You can find them on, you know, the YouTube channel, but you can also find them on basically any podcast channel as well.
So you can find all that out. Also, you can follow Kent on Twitter @Kent_Swanson. He's so far behind me at this point, barely even feels like a battle anymore. Like, just a pity plug for the Twitter account just to try to get him close again. How many Twitter followers do you have? I'm afraid you may have caught up again.
One giant diabetic meltdown away. So, you know what? I've still got that card. You played yours, and I'll just play mine, and we'll see what happens.
That sounds good. Since we haven't actually gotten to do a segment in a little while, I'm going to go big picture with you first, and we can zoom in on a couple things from the Packers game or whatever. But how are you feeling right now about just, like, the state of the Kansas City Chiefs, considering that I think the last time we talked might have been either right before or right after Washington, so a lot of ground has been covered, even if it was a week after that. There's obviously been some interesting, weird football.
I think that's like a great way of summarizing it, but there's probably a lot of other adjectives that could really do a great job describing this bizarre season. It's been weird, man. Like I can't completely put my finger on it yet, and like I don't necessarily feel good about this team. Like winning definitely makes you feel better, but I mean, you look at this team, you look at where they're at. They failed every big test that they've had, and I guess like this win against the Packers was nice without Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. But and then I mean, the defense did good and all that stuff, but like, I still look at the team. Their body of work's not anything to write home about. So anybody doubting this team, I think, absolutely should still feel, you know, some level of concern about the outlook of this team moving forward. I kind of said, and this is like, it became a bit in a hashtag no loss November on Twitter, but like, that's what's going to make me feel better about this team. I'll go back to being an insufferable Patrick Mahomes stan if this team goes undefeated in November, and they're halfway there. The tests haven't been what we thought they were going to be with Aaron Rodgers, but now you go to Las Vegas. You go and then play the Cowboys after that. You come out of those two games 2-0. We can start having some conversations about the team, you know, really being a legitimate Super Bowl contender moving forward. But, man, these issues that we keep seeing, you know, we still saw it with the Packers game, too. Offensively, a lot of struggles. Defense was good. But, man, like, offensively, there's a lot there.
I have said for a while, and I think that this remains true, that almost anybody you could point a finger at and you could get some amount of blame or concern or underperforming or some sort of issue, whatever, maybe not the interior offensive line, I guess. So you don't have to worry about them. They're good. But if I was going to say, hey, pick the one thing right now that you are most concerned about, which obviously has to be a combination of that part's impact on the rest of the game, but also, you know, your concern that maybe it won't get fixed. What would you sort of consider, like, issue number one at this point?
Yikes. That's hard. I think the pass catchers. Mm-hmm. I think Mahomes shares some of that too. But like, I think the pass catchers is the big one here. And you know, like you see Travis Kelce really, I struggling to get open a little bit at times because of the halo technique that Andy talked about. They're just grabbing them. Tyreek Hill has been effectively neutered, and the lack of trust about every single other, you know, offensive pass catcher on this team that Mahomes has, I think, is just totally shining. And I think that's where I look at this team. I look at the lack of confidence that Mahomes has in his supporting cast outside of Kelce and Hill, that, you know, teams have been able to more effectively, you know, take those guys away a little bit better. You know, Travis Kelce's getting old. I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30, and I'm not saying he's declining, you know, rapidly, but he's not the same guy he was, you know, 3 years ago. And you know, Tyreek Hill, teams have done a fantastic job of keeping a lid on him. So if those two things are happening, and maybe there's a little bit of regression from a Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, you know, kind of being contained, who's going to do anything else for you? And I think this is really where we're seeing a lot of issues and why this team is struggling. Why Patrick Mahomes is slowly just losing confidence in his pass-catching weapons is because there's not a lot of guys that have gone out there and proven anything.
Let's talk about Odell Beckham. You had a really interesting piece of analysis on Twitter where you touched on this, and I don't have it in front of me, so you're gonna have to clarify if I don't get all of the specifics right. But you think that Odell Beckham is better than Byron Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman, and you could try to convince me of that if you want, but I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, it's gonna be an uphill battle here, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know exactly what Odell Beckham is from, like, how far removed from peak Odell Beckham he is. But what I do know is he's a better pass-catching option than anything the Chiefs have right now. And that's, I mean, Josh Gordon, too. Like, we'll see if we can figure out a way, if the Chiefs can figure out a way to kind of get Josh Gordon involved a little bit differently. Because I still think he's got some skill sets there and some abilities. It's just he's taken a long time to kind of get integrated and stuff. But, man, I think what Odell Beckham is at this point in his career is still extremely valuable. And man, I'm. It sounds like the Chiefs are in on him. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's little bits and pieces here that seem to indicate like he's taking his time now, which just kind of screams everything we've heard the last 24 hours is completely pointless and doesn't mean a single thing. Like, he's close to signing with the Packers. He's close to signing with the Patriots. The Patriots are coming with a substantial offer, and now the Seahawks. If he's taking his time, that tells me that there's not as much substance to all this buzz that we've been hearing, so I don't know what to believe anymore. But he helps. He helps his football team a lot. He's the best option they're going to get the rest of the season.
Give me a little bit of some of the details of where he fits in this offense that strikes you and makes you go, yeah, this would make a lot of sense.
Oh, I mean, he fits perfectly. This is a guy that can play that X position at a high level. He still has an exceptional route tree. He's a guy that, you know, can win and catch a contested slant. He's a guy that can play above the rim. We know he's got a big catch radius and an outstanding high hand-eye coordination, some good catches that he's had in his career, obviously. And I know some people think he's just kind of rested on that catch, that one catch that we all know about. I think there's more to him than that. But he fits perfectly, and he's a guy that can operate in some of the areas the Chiefs have really struggled. I think he can win in a lot of different areas of the field. I think he's really good finding soft spots and zones, you know, and I think he can beat, you know, physical press coverage. So those are really qualities and traits that this team needs. And, I mean, he's got enough versatility that he can line up and move along a lot of different places that, you know, they try to move their X receiver too. Like Sammy Watkins wasn't a true traditional X all the time. You know, he'd operate really well in those bunches and those kind of situations too. So I think this is a guy that can really add a lot to this team.
This is sort of a combination of our last two little topics, I guess. But if you take Odell Beckham and plug him into this offense, do you think that it's sort of the Sammy Watkins effect, as we learned how to talk about him better over the years, do you think that there is a change in how defenses would have to defend the Chiefs And or do you think that Beckham then becomes one of those guys that, if you're paying all your attention to Hill and Kelce, that Beckham is more likely to actually make defenses pay for that than anybody else currently on the roster?
Yeah, I don't think they change. I don't think anything's changing. I think teams are going to continue to operate the way they've operated. They're going to play this two-high structure, mixing things up with that two-shell look. They're going to force the Chiefs to drive down the field. They're going to really focus on eliminating explosive plays. But he makes them pay. And I think that's kind of the thing you said at the end there is like, yes, you know, nothing is going to change how teams play them because of Odell Beckham, I don't think, but he can make teams pay for how they play. Now they might live with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that teams will continue to live with it because, you know, forcing long drives and forcing the Chiefs to, you know, make mistakes, which has kind of been the MO of a lot of teams, and it's worked really well. I don't think it's a coincidence that this tight game they just played, they won the turnover battle and didn't turn the football over. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a guy that can make them pay. And, like, that's the line that you kind of said that I think is the crucial factor. He can be extremely productive if there's not enough attention paid to him.
This is probably a better question for the day after the Chiefs sign him rather than potentially days before or maybe before it never happens at all. But let's say that he does sign here and he's not going to end up playing, you know, the Raiders game, certainly, if it's going to take a couple more days. But do you take anything from how slow the on-ramping has been from Josh Gordon, or do you think that that reflects more on where Josh Gordon is at right now, more so than what it takes to be a receiver in this offense?
I mean, Odell Beckham's coming in game ready. I mean, this is a guy that's been through, you know, the middle. Yeah, I mean, he's in the middle of the season. So, like, this isn't Josh Gordon kind of ramping up, you know, really struggling to get integrated in the offense. I do think that there's something to be said about the chemistry that Mahomes has with some of his receivers that's very apparent and obvious. And that's really going to be difficult for him to just step in and pick up with Odell Beckham immediately. But I think, you know, he'll do a good job integrating in, and they'll be able to get some packages for him if he does choose to come to Kansas City, which I genuinely, like, I'll be a little bit bummed if he doesn't. I don't want to get my hopes up too much, but, like, this is a guy that can impact the game.
Yeah. And also, I don't know, I mean, I you know what, I am pretty confident that you will be able to relate to this, but I just have everybody else fatigue at this point. We spent a long time talking about Mecole Hardman. I know you've got plenty of thoughts. You can talk about him as much or as little as you feel like. But I'm kind of tired of talking about Mecole Hardman. I'm definitely tired of talking about DeMarcus Robinson. I'm kind of tired of talking about Byron Pringle. I might have Josh Gordon fatigue, which is a bummer because I didn't think that was going to go quite this way. But I just think something else interesting would be wonderful at this point because it feels like the offense, especially that position, which you've already talked about, like it just feels kind of stagnant, and it feels like we know who everybody is at this point.
Well, just look at this last game, and I'm not going to just talk about, oh, it's just a one-game sample size, I get it, but Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, 68 yards, 37 yards, Jerick McKinnon, 3 catches for 26 yards, and then everybody else is Mecole Hardman, 3 catches, 20 yards, 6.7 yards per catch, which is basically like a running back. And, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, 1 catch, 2 yards. No catches for Josh Gordon on 1 target. No targets for Byron Pringle. This is not a group that has shown an ability to really do much of anything. I think, you know, Mecole Hardman, I think it's the discussion, the discourse about Mecole Hardman, the optimism about, you know, his outlook, like he's still the exact same guy he's been. And in fact, the Chiefs are so done with him continuing to be the same guy he's always been that they really haven't opened things up for him, because the only way he's really been able to effectively get involved within this offense has largely been plays behind the line of scrimmage. His average depth of target is like 6.7 yards, which is like, it's in tight end running back territory. Yeah. It's like the worst on the team. And so, you know, you've kind of got – he's a gadget player. He's a touchdown, check-down gadget player that's not really making any plays down the field at all anymore. And, you know, that's kind of what he's been reduced to. So now you're looking at Byron Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson as guys that can, you know, maybe operate 0 to 20 yards. And, you know, we've seen what's happened there, be it drops, be it a lack of trust, lack of getting open. Those are big problems. Those are big holes in this offensive structure that are really kind of starting to come to light. And that's why they need a guy like, Odell Beckham.
Yeah. Where are you at on Mahomes right now with the last few weeks that he's put out? Also, if you want to go into discourse, you know, the Patrick Mahomes taking what the defense gives him discourse that has, I will tip my hand and say, frustratingly, I think largely been boiled down to one deep shot on first and 10 that I personally wasn't upset about. But where are you on what we've seen from Mahomes the last few weeks?
Well, I mean, I think there's just a long list of issues, a long list of excuses, too, that I feel like you can comfortably excuse away some things. Like, you know, we probably didn't take into consideration how hard it was going to be, you know, for him to kind of get accustomed to his offensive line. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's a big one. You know, like, I think that's part of it. So you've got that. You've got teams doing a really good job of taking things away. You've got a lack of, you know, depth along the, you know, pass catcher offensive weapons that are really struggling to get open, that are really struggling to find ways to contribute and all that. So you've got those issues. And then I think all those things combined, there's a lack of confidence there from Mahomes. I mean, there does seem some, you know, a lack of confidence to fire in some of the areas that he's used to firing. It doesn't seem like the keep firing mantra that we've heard so much between Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes that this offense has kind of breathed over the last four amazing, incredible seasons. We're not seeing that same kind of, you know, that same kind of energy. So I think there's probably a little bit of, you know, some of this being coached out of him because they are trying to take what the defense gives you. But, like, largely, I think he's coming out of it. I think, you know, there was more positive indicators in that game than people want to admit. And so, like, I think there's been marginal growth. I think he was better in the pocket this week.
Yeah.
I think that was a lot better. I loved that he challenged and he took some shots down the field. He's really trying to force the issue a little bit. I think, you know, teams – The thing that's really bothered me with the Chiefs is, like, you know, they're not the aggressor anymore.
Mm.
And they need to kind of start being that a little bit more here and there. And you know, we say teams aren't afraid of them. Well, they kind of got to make some teams a little bit more afraid of them.
Yeah.
And I think they got to push the issue a little bit more here and there. So there's a lot of micro issues leading this. I think he's coming out of it. I don't think he's been as bad. And boy, that frustration he let out at the end of that game mm-hmm. against the Packers. I think there's a chance that we look back at that moment, that fist pump, that expletive he screamed mm-hmm. as like a moment where we said that's when Mahomes snapped out of it and that's when the season turned around. Because that offensively could just be – we'll find out against the Raiders, but that could be a big moment for this team.
I will point out here, in case you're wondering, dear listener, man, I wish someone would write about the conclusion of that game and what happened there going into that moment. And I would tell you, you're in luck, because you could go to kcsn.substack.com and read Kent's piece about it. Whenever you looked specifically at that drive and specifically at that moment, that being the culmination of it there, what did you uncover whenever you went back through all that?
I mean, it just looked like that drive looked a lot like vintage Mahomes, vintage this offense, mm-hmm. and it culminated with that final play, right? And it was great because they tried to run the ball and it didn't work too, so it was really
it was really vintage, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, they ran the ball on first down 9 straight times in that game. They only had one first down pass in the second half. It was that Josh Gordon drop to start the second half. So, like, they were just, like, trying to kill that clock and just run it into the ground. But, that final drive, you saw a lot of, you know, the little things, some creativity within the offensive structure, you know, getting your stars involved and getting your stars involved out of structure. So, like, there was a lot of really positive indicators there at the end of that game where you said, okay, maybe that was a moment for this team that they just kind of reminded themselves that they are who they are. They're the, you know, the juggernaut best offense in the world, the scariest thing in professional sports, I will argue. I mean, that the Chiefs offense, when it is humming, is scarier than the Golden State Warriors
mm-hmm.
at their peak. It is scarier than, I don't know, the Astros lineup.
I was going to say, know, the Royals, like, bullpen when it was good, because that's the only baseball thing I can think of.
I was trying to be more modern, but like, yeah.
But I haven't watched baseball since then, so... That's not true. I haven't watched good baseball since then, because I've watched the Royals exclusively.
Yeah, so like they just haven't been the inevitability that they've been. And it feels like, you know, maybe they reminded themselves that they are Thanos, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I pronounce it wrong. I get made fun of sometimes for that.
I was going to let it go.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's so normal of you to just let things that I do go. But Yeah, this seems an inevitability, and I hope they get back to that DNA, that identity, because there's too much talent, and they have the best player in the world, and I don't want them to waste a season of that.
Yeah, no kidding. On that note, I love the idea that, hey, this team isn't being the aggressor right now, and that kind of stinks, because I think that's an excellent way of looking at it, but it also feels kind of funny to say that after these several weeks of so many people talking about taking what the defense is giving and all of that, which there's something to, right? I mean, you don't want to force nonsense, but how do you meet that medium where they still look like the Kansas City Chiefs offense, but also, you know, if the linebackers are backpedaling at the snap and the safeties are 47 yards downfield, that you can, you know, hand it off and take your 7 yards and move on. How should they be balancing that?
I mean, they have before, and that's the thing that's so interesting, is this is not a new script. Like, this is what a lot of teams did to them last year, and they were just exceptional and dominant, and, you know, they were able to kind of take stuff that was just sitting in front of them. But I think, you know, the thing that's interesting, that I think that's kind of changed is, you know, teams have really kind of started to challenge at the line of scrimmage a little bit more on some of these offensive weapons than they used to. So, yeah, they were playing a little bit soft. They're trying to keep things in front of them, force long drives, yada, 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 last year. But it was a lot of easy layups that they were just taking immediately. Mahomes, here's the thing. Mahomes is taking layups, but he's taking sometimes the layups are McCole Hardman, like on that final drive. It's a little hitch. Yep. And things like turning the football over are happening at an alarming rate where, you know, if you can force McCole Hardman on a hitch route to beat you, you're going to do it. That's where I think you get frustrated with some of these pass catching options. But I think what they did to try to, you know, kind of push the ball and force the ball down the field a little bit, keep teams honest, could help maybe soften some things, especially if they start hitting on a couple of these the next couple of weeks.
We didn't talk about the defense at all, and I'm okay with that. Is there one thing defensively you're like, hey, look at that, enjoy that next week, or maybe this will come around? There are lots of places I feel like we could go, but I'm gonna say pick one defensive thing, and then I'll let you go.
Frank Clark is good.
Yeah, he's been good.
We're not. I know, like, the discourse about him, and like, I'm not saying none of it has been justified, but the healthiest Frank Clark we've seen in a while, the densest Frank Clark that's been able to maintain weight, like, this dude's played pretty well. He's got some juice off the edge. He's playing with power. Looks like he can feel his hands, which is always a nice thing to have in a pass rusher.
literally physically feel his fingertips, which has been an issue, I would remind everyone.
Like, this is nice. And he's not worth the cap hit. He was never going to be worth the cap hit that he's got right now, but he's playing pretty good football, and he deserves some respect for that. I think that, you know, if the Chiefs are going to turn this around, Frank Clark, Chris Jones rushing, Melvin Ingram rushing, those guys setting the tempo up there and really affecting the passer is going to go a long way. And if this team can help, you know, pull this thing together and go on and do what we kind of expected them to do at the beginning of the year.
I agree 1,000%. If you want to just hear, read more from people who agree with me, that's not always true. Although I got to tell you, Kent, Matt and I have been agreeing on a lot recently, and it makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
This is what world are we living in? I'm so confused. But no, you guys need to do a buddy cop movie. That's what we need.
You,
the crossover event of the century.
Yeah. Look, you guys work on the scripts, put it in the calendar. I'll see it whenever you guys want to get together and have a brainstorming session. Just hop in the Google Calendar and I'll see it, like the watching eye of God that you are.
Yeah, I will, and my people will talk to your people, and we'll get this thing put together. Yeah.
That sounds good. It's Kent Swanson of KC Sports Network. Go to kcsportsnetwork.com for the homepage of everything. You can even buy shirts there, and Kent won't yell at me about it. And you can go to kcsn.substack.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. There's all the stuff on the YouTube, all the podcasts, all of the written stuff. Just go to one of those pages, and you'll probably find the rest of it there.
Yeah, and also if you buy a subscription right now, go ahead and if you do, we're gonna send 5 cookies to a teacher in Kansas City, to teachers in Kansas City. So we're trying to do Feed It Forward as well.
I forgot about that, and I'm really glad I did not successfully throw to break right before you mentioned that, because that would have been pretty awkward. Thank you, Kent.
Anytime, buddy.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
It's funny to everyone forever whenever you get given a PP up in a Pokemon game, right? Like, that never stops being funny for anybody else.
It's
been funny. That's what I'm saying. You go into our ads, you get some PP up.
We have ads for that.
Yeah.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Rudy, you know the Kicks Under Cost Twitter account? Do you still follow that?
I do, yes.
I don't think I've ever actually bought anything through that.
Me neither.
But it's kind of nice to just see it every once in a while and think, you know what? If I had a little more money, I would feel okay buying these expensive sneakers on sale.
It's always the Adidas, what's like their main brand? Why can't I remember their main?
Their Ultra Boost.
Ultra Boost, yeah, because the Ultra Boost
got those Stan Smiths.
So clean.
Yeah, well, so two kind of caught my eye back-to-back earlier tonight. One, and I don't think that these are necessarily on sale on their own, but 25% off with free shipping for the new Patrick Mahomes. I think this is the signature one, but not the green one, but the one that's got like kind of a wavy like zebra print and also some like rainbow little like splashes, which I prefer to the original ones that got launched. But there are still some strange choices of that. These I actually think are pretty dope and very on brand for me. But that I thought was interesting to see pop up there, but that's not what really caught my eye. Rudy, do me a favor and just go ahead and Google something for me. I'm just going to go ahead and dictate it as I go. You feel free to play along at home. Google.
I'm ready.
Adidas. Rivalry. H-I.
He.
Chewbacca.
Chewbacca. Google did it for me. Huh. These are a shoe.
I'm going to go ahead and do my best in an audio medium, but I just, you know, I would just suggest that you go ahead and Google it. It's like a high top basketball shoe with, you know, the Adidas stripes on the side, except for in pretty much every place that would typically be like the base color.
Yeah.
It's a beige fur.
So they've got a whole Star Wars line. There's a C-3PO one. There's a Skywalker, Boba Fett.
Oh, these also have the bandolier over the front. I actually clicked through for the first time.
I'm on the StockX page. Last sale, $69.
Nice.
It's not a...
For the Chewbacca ones?
Yeah.
That's below retail. Because I'm on the Adidas website right now. I can apparently use this 25% off code. They don't have them 10.5s, unfortunately.
Apparently, they weren't, I guess, that much in demand.
That's sort of what. But here's the thing: what? Now, like, how much for a 10.5?
Like the Skywalker, $350.
Okay, how did you get there? It's just StockX.
Yeah.
Adidas Star Wars.
I actually just typed in the shoe, and the StockX was the first page that popped up.
I'm just trying to be able to see them all. How are you seeing all of them all at once?
It's just in the related products underneath.
So I'm clicking on
Darth
Vader ones are. They look sort of like an Ultra Boost. I don't think they actually are. Now, the photos aren't loading in the... I'm going to just go ahead and go through the whole collection here.
There.
I'm just going to do Adidas Star Wars like collection here.
Yeah, that's fair.
Specifically, though, the Chewbacca ones have like full-on Wookiee fur.
My guess is it's 60... Yeah, this is for U.S. men's size 8.5. Size 10...
10.5 would be nice.
132.
Still cheaper than Adidas.com.
Okay. Size 14, 450.
Okay. Well, you know what they say about big shoes.
Weirdly enough,
expensive shoes.
Size 5.5, 135.
I don't know if I could wear shoes with fur on it. Like
you could.
Fur out, like, looks like it's growing out of it.
You could.
I mean, I could.
You could.
Every once in a while, that damn Twitter account will get me to where I see the code, and I go through, and I look at all the stuff on sale on any given website, and then ultimately it's like, am I going to spend $80 right now? Maybe later. And I'll leave it open in the tab, then later I go, I'm not going to buy any of this bleep, and then I just close the tab. That's happening again now. With these Chewbacca shoes. Well, excuse me. these Chewbaccas, the air Chewbaccas, they call them. It's just very enticing.
They're not bad.
What's the most you've ever spent on a pair of shoes?
Probably like low 100.
You got the Miles Morales ones that you have, which are expensive. I haven't seen those. Cracked those out.
I know.
A while.
It's one of those weird things with shoes like that, where it's like I was actually listening to the Ringerverse, which is like, you know, their nerd. They basically have two episodes each week. One of them's Mallory Rubin. Another one's the Midnight Boys. Very great. It's Van Lathan and Charles. I forget his last name. He does their music show with Shea Serrano and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he talked about I was just like, I'm listening to him. I'm just like, we're on the same page right now. Because he's like, he wanted the Kanye Yeezys. Like when they were first, like mm-hmm. the very first ones, right? And like he saved up money for them and he got them. And he just basically, they just sat there.
Yeah.
He wore them like 3 times. But every time he walked by and looked at them, he just like smiled.
Right.
Because it was just something that he bought, something he just got, right? Like something that he owned, that he really wanted. It was like his first adult purchase.
Sure.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
I just bought something I like. I kind of feel the same thing with the shoes, where it's like, I don't wear them a ton because I'm kind of scared to wear them. But man, when I look at them, I smile.
I think if they're like out or somewhere you can see them and they make you happy, then it's mm-hmm. they're probably doing their job.
I need to wear them a little bit more because also I don't plan on reselling them. I don't have much of a desire.
And Jordans, if you ever see an old sort of banged up pair of Jordans,
yeah.
They still look great.
Yeah, I don't have a ton. Like I'm not trying to like keep this in mint condition to resell.
Don't
for $1,000
draw on
one
them
day.
In Sharpie.
Yeah,
but if they just age naturally, mm-hmm. you're gonna be all right.
So I need to wear them more. And like my goal is, I'm not really much of a shoe person. But except for the Jordan Retro High Tops. Like the Jordan 1 Retro High Tops.
I've been looking at Jordan 1 Retro High Tops for so long.
I would like to.
Never bought a pair.
Because I like buying through StockX just because I know they're legit there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you can find really good prices. Some of them are crazy expensive. And some are like $120. And I would just kind of like to eventually have a Jordan Retro High in just about like every color.
Wow.
For like, just for the wardrobe, right?
So like, this is ultimate reality, Rudy, who doesn't work in sports radio.
Yeah, if I'm wearing a green shirt, you know what I'm wearing? I'm wearing the green Jordans. Like, if I'm wearing a blue shirt, you know what I'm wearing? I'm wearing the blue Jordans. Like, that's the dream. I went to a store, like, when I went to at Crown Center, I've already forgotten the name of it, after we went to the aquarium over the weekend.
Yeah.
And it's just a sneakers, like not like your normal store, but it's like meant for sneakerheads.
Mm-hmm.
And on the wall at Crown Center,
at Crown Center,
yeah,
really?
And on the wall were just Jordans everywhere. Like every Jordan I've ever seen, like the retro high ones. And now the person, one of the people who I was there with was like, it's almost impossible to find like your size because like 10 to 12 are basically just always sold out because everybody wears 10 to 12.
Were they individually like wrapped in the like shrink film that they always have on the sneaker shopping videos?
Not,
just sitting out there.
Not these ones. They just had one of each shoe like on mm-hmm. display, and there was probably 300 shoes on this wall of like the creme of the creme, right? Like these are the best of the best shoes. These are the shoes you seek out. These are the ones that the sneakerheads want.
I'm just scrolling through Flight Club right now, just looking at all of these Jordan 1s. Because I think that's my, like, that is the shoe that I have nearly pulled the trigger on most.
It's a comfy shoe. It's a great looking shoe. I'm not really a sneakerhead. They're very.
It's an expensive hobby, man.
Yeah, there's very few shoes that I think look that good. The Jordan Retro, the Jordan 1 Retro High Top is that shoe. I just think it's the best looking shoe. I don't know, man. It's just like I was obsessed with the Mellows growing up. So like mm-hmm. those were the most expensive shoes. I was buying those every year for basketball, but that was because I was a Carmelo fan. Now the first Mellows I still love. Like
what am I Googling to find these here?
I guess just like the Mellow ones probably.
I'm going to see if I can
buy like the third rendition. They started looking a little weird, but I kept buying them because they were Mellows, right? Because it's Mellow.
I Googled Mellow 1 shoes, and the first result is Big Baller Brand MB1. Oh, God. Oh, Rudy, you're going to feel old and depressed. It's because it's short for LaMelo. I searched Mellow 1s, and it gave me LaMelos. not Carmelo's.
Yeah, I've got them. I'm looking at some. I don't remember which was the first one, though, but I'm looking at these shoes. I'm like, yeah, I remember having that shoe, and I remember having this shoe, and I just don't remember which was, like, the first one.
Oh, I've seen these Mellows before. The Carmelos, I suppose.
Yeah.
Very, very, very often, I'm just wearing checkerboard Vans. I'm probably going to actually finally buy some Tims soon, because last winter I was like, I just wish I would have just bought the Tims that I agonized over for a while. We really need to take a break, huh?
Yeah, and I realize we definitely do. Right,
I've got these Chelsea boots that I wear now a lot, and I'm just destroying them slowly because I wear them all the time. I don't want to have to think about protecting my shoes. But also, none of my shoes currently have Wookiee fur on them, and I might have to change that.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Who would you rather have as president, a baby, or a puppy?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I feel like I need to give a quick late-night apology to the Twitch chat, because I'm honestly just out of practice. And so I have been, every time I've looked over at the Twitch chat, I've seen something. Man, I wish we had more time to talk about that. And then I forget again. Lots of good stuff in the Twitch chat. Great to be back doing the show again. Great to see you guys over here, Twitch chat. But Aspen said, I keep getting Instagram ads for Adidas Monsters, Inc. shoes. So I've Googled Monsters, Inc. Adidas.
Love the Instagram ad.
There are some fuzzy Stan Smith silhouettes with Sully's color pattern, and I think maybe a little Mike Wazowski on the back. Plus,
Chiefs linebacker, legend.
Mike Wazowski, Donovan Mitchell shoes.
NFL NBA collab.
There's actually a lot of Monsters, Inc. Adidas shoes. I think this one's inspired by that orange monster that gets the sock stuck on him and you have to shave him and put him in the cone. Twitch chat, I appreciate you, but you may have cost me some money tonight. We'll see. Although, if I know myself, I'll never actually buy any of them. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week. Until then, bye, Mom!